tongues. It wouldn't be enough to praise him.
And I'm just thankful for a little gathering, a big gathering we had last Saturday. We celebrated our beloved sister, Vernon Holly's 90th birthday. And they had a beautiful concert. So if you missed it, you missed a tremendous blessing. And I didn't know, wasn't aware that she had such an impact on the greater Lansing community. It was such a blessing. And I was so ecstatic to be a part of that, for that jubilation concert, and praise and magnify the name of the Lord. And we thank her workmanship and her dedication and her stewardship, not only in this church, but in many churches and the schools and the impact that she has. So all praise go to the Lord. And she's so humble. She won't talk to you, but tell you about it. Okay. Again, I'm glad to be here. I'm Minister Roger Arby from Flint, Michigan. And it's just good to be back home, and I'm getting back into the groove. Most of you know I lost my mother, and she was a really dedicated woman for the cause of Christ. That was a godly woman. She worked it so tirelessly in her church. I mean, she done a little bit of everything in that church. And I guess a little of that rubbed off on me. So continue to pray for the Arby family. We still would solicit your prayers and everything. And we're just going to break the word of God for a few moments, and because I haven't ate since yesterday evening, and I'm, as usual, kind of hungry. I'm hungrier than I don't know. I'm just hungry. Okay, the message today, Christian friends, are the message of reconciliation. Don't let that big reconciliation word throw you off. It's just a little theological term, just like the doctrine of justification, the doctrine of sanctification, the doctrine of glorification, and all that stuff. But this is just a very simple message that we're going to try to break it down, that even the novice layman can understand it, including Brother Holly. So if you have your scripture, please, we ask that you would turn with us in the Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting with verse 16, respectively. That's in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll be starting in verse 16. King James Version is what we're going to use today, mostly. And Paul says in verse 16 of chapter 5, "Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." May the Lord would add a blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let us depend on God, the Holy Spirit, that he may teach us and to set the word of God in our hearts and in our lives. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this golden opportunity that we can rightly divide the word of truth. We would pray, Lord, the word of God will penetrate in our very marrows of our lives, and that we are aware that heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word will always be for eternity. So, Father, bind any demon or any unclean spirit that will come up on our lives, Father, we would pray, Lord, we would bind it, and that you will have full course in the delivery of this message, and lead your servant here. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a message on reconciliation, Christian friends. It's just many of the doctrine, teachings of the Bible, and it's good to know this stuff and to be applicable in our Christian arsenal that we need. It simply means reconciliation means simply is being brought back to God. If I could boil it down in a few layman's terms, it means for the sinner man to be brought back to God. And we know God is holy and he will not associate with sin, and so all people are sinful, we know that, and are separated from God. Our sin deserves punishment, doesn't it? And it deserves judgment. Being reconciled to God should make us so much more grateful. Every day to live a life of his forgiveness. Can you identify with that? We should always be thankful for Christ dying on the cross upon himself. And let us rejoice in God through faith in Christ works on our behalf. On our behalf. And this act of grace makes us no longer Christ's enemies or to feel like an outcast. And let us remember, death was a result of one man's sin, and that was whom? Adam. That we all have committed because we have a fallen nature. And from the time of Adam to Moses' time, sin was so brazen, the law was added to help people see their sinfulness and show the seriousness of their offenses to God. The law pointed to our sin, didn't it? But it had no remedy. It had no restitution. It could not really bring people to God. Only the bread of life could bring eternal life to us, and that was Jesus Christ. So, and this act of restitution will only transpire by the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and it will produce healing and restoration and, of course, reconciliation. So now let's look at our first verse here in verse 16. Just take a listen. Wherefore, henceforth we know man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we know more. Now listen, Paul here is writing and sharing through the perspective lens of an unregenerated and an ungodly person, and known as after the flesh, we use this term, unsaved. There, you know, we're not to look upon unsaved persons. They're worldly, ambitious. Of course, it's very admirable and very admirable, whatever. Their social status, their racial background, but regardless, listen, regardless of what they have or what they have not, Paul, in this verse, we see that all are still lost, the bottom line. That Christ died for the the person that holds a PhD, as well as a person that is on skid row or is living in the gutter. We are also to gauge people on the same level as well, should not we? In fact, Paul did not see Christ as merely a man in this verse. As a man, Christ walked upon this world as a merely man. He was born in Bethlehem in a stable. 2,000 years ago, he was raised in Nazareth. He walked in Galilee. He ministered in Cana. Remember the miracle? Water into wine. He went to Jerusalem, merely a man. Died on the cross, was buried outside the city in Joseph's tomb. He was raised again the third day. He sent it back to heaven. Friends, there is no man of Galilee today anymore. The point here is our risen Savior is not there. We don't see him in the flesh anymore. The point of this scripture. Christ is now in heaven and with all splendor and glory and glorification state, which is now something to behold at the right hand of God, make it intercessory for us. And this is the glorified Christ we see. So Paul says, wherefore, listen to the second part of it. We have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, right now, present, henceforth, we know him no more. Now, we as Christians have identified ourselves with the one that is in glory, right? We have died with him spiritually. By faith, we have received the empowerment and have been sealed until the day of redemption. We join him, and one day we will join him in the heavenlies. That means that we're being reconciled. Now, to get a better detail in this verse, look at the verse 17. To appreciate verse 16. And most of us probably know 2 Corinthians 5:17. You can verbate it and say it. But it just says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation or new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This verse shows that we have now been united with Christ through faith. And I want you, if you got your Bible, I want you to turn to another very familiar scripture, and that's in Philippians 2:20. And I know you know it, but I want you to see it. Galatians, if you know it from heart, just look at it. Paul says, now this is really getting to the crux of being reconciled to God, really being understanding and appreciating how we are united and how we are reconciled back to God. Listen, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. And nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And that's what transpired in our lives if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And Paul says, and the life, the eternal life that I have, he's saying, which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me unconditionally. And he gave himself for me, Paul says. That is, putting it in a nutshell, about the scenario of reconciliation to God. And you know, someone put it this way, we're brand new on the inside, but what about the outside? What about the outside? Are you and I living out a transformation displayed life for all the world can see for the glory and the cause of Christ? That's a challenge. I just happened to look at an article I thought would be very fitting in this illustration. And a husband and wife became estranged and decided to separate. They moved away and lived in a different parts of the country. The husband happened to return to the city on business and went out to the cemetery to see the grave of their only son. Standing by the grave, he heard a step behind him in the cemetery. When he turned, he saw his estranged wife. The initial impulse of both was to turn away, but they had a common interest in that grave site. Instead of turning away, they clasped hands over the grave of their son and were reconciled by death. And that's precisely what Jesus done for you and I. It was through his death, we have become reconciled to God. Hallelujah! That's something to get excited about, isn't it? And you know, there are some intriguing things that have happened to us according to God's word that we have in Christ. And just four little distinctive things that I read about and jotted down as they fit the, as we have redemption or reconciliation through Christ. And number one was the believer's security in Christ. This is who Jesus bore his body and paid the judgment against sin. Sin had to be paid for. He had to be judged. And number two was the believer's acceptance in Jesus Christ. We are accepted in the beloved. When God alone is said through Jesus Christ on the cross, not only this will with my soul, but it pleases the Father that he died. It is finished. And then also we have in this package of reconciliation the believer's future assurance in him who is resurrected and restituted to eternal life, and it's the sole guarantee for the believer's inheritance to get to heaven. Did you get that? And then I saw here that was worthy to write, number four, the believer's participation in the divine nature of Christ into everlasting life in the everlasting Word, which is Jesus Christ, is the Word. He's the Word of life. So all this happened, friends, because of a new birth. And that's what it boils down to. It's a new birth. It means being born from above. You remember Jesus told the Pharisee Nicodemus, did not he? the ruler of the Jews, Jesus simply said, except a man be born again, ye cannot see the kingdom of God, not even one little peek hole. And that still requisition is still pertinent today. People are not going to heaven shy of being born again. And I trust that you have been reconciled to God. That's what probably most of you are in here. You've been reconciled. You've been glued to the Son of God. So to be born again in our context, we're a new creation. This is a new level of excellence in our lives. And this is a new level. And the apostle wrote also in his epistle to 1 John, if ye know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteous is born of him, is born of Christ. Plus, we see the same thought with Paul in Ephesians 2:1-3. And the Bible said, and you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which once you walked according to the course of this world, the prince of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedient. We all had our conversation, our conduct in the old late nature, among whom we once lived in our passions, in our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature the children of hate or wrath. And we've been set free, heavenly. We have the victory. You have the victory today. You're not a child of wrath no longer. You're a child of God. Brothers and sisters, we have experienced his richest mercies, haven't we? His tender love. And when we were dead in trespasses and sin, our great Savior made us alive together and seated us into heavenly places. That's beautiful. That makes you want to get out and tell somebody. Amen. And I just read a old Daily Bread. You know, it's a good ministry that you can do. And as I read our Daily Bread, at a laundromat, you still can go to your laundromat, your corner laundromat, wash your dirty clothes, put them in the dryer and have fellowship and share the word of God. And I can't give you all the details and everything, but it was a person that was doing that, and it was very fruitful in that situation. So the little key nugget here is to go to your laundromat and start witnessing. I thought that was pretty worthy to mention. So this gift of reconciliation our Redeemer does for us. This is also an expression of Christ's substitutionary death for us. The believer has a new perspective as the old has passed away, you see, and the old value systems. You remember your old value systems, how you was mean? Lord, help me. I'm up here picking on you now. I'm sorry. But your old system, your priorities, they weren't in quite order. You have a new value system. Your beliefs, what did you believe? Your love for this world and your plans and things of the past, this is all eradicated now. You are a new creation. We are a new creation in Jesus Christ. Yes, we still have to deal with evil and sin. Don't deny that. I still have struggled with that. But we can have the victory at the same time. Hallelujah, church. Because we can do all things through Christ, which strengthen us. It worked for Gideon. It worked for Jonah when he listened. It worked for Apostle Paul. And it'll work for you today. Because we can be encouraged, and we have Christ strengthen us in our spiritual realm, of course. So let us never forget the new has come. Reconciled. We now live in eternity, not a temporal thing, no longer. Our faith is to produce works. Paul said, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You didn't know you're supposed to be doing good works. I didn't say about working for salvation. But we ought to be doing works which God have before ordained that we should walk in them. Listen to Ephesians 2:10. The scripture teaches, you have faith and I have works. I think this is in James. Yeah, James. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. I like how Brother Holly used to say that. And the book of James teaches we are to produce fruit in our lives. Not barren, but being a fruitful Christian, bearing the fruits of the Spirit, because we have been engrafted into the family of God, and we have been reconciled back to God. Yes. Now, let's look at verse 18 and 19 together here. And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and have given us the ministry. Now listen, the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So condense and summarize this verse. All things are of God. We know God is the creator of heaven and earth. He is the originator and a performer of the good work of redemption. Reconciliation is God's work of love in our lives. A work carried out by Jesus Christ, and he came to reveal God's nature and God's love toward mankind. You see, he is the living word. He's the Lamb of God, all in one package, and he's the bread of life. And Christ came to accomplish the work of reconciliation between God and man, to bring us back to God, because we blown it. His original willingness to pardon and redeem us back to God. Through that plan. It was Jesus alone qualified for the work of redemption and reconciliation, and he was God in the flesh, and he was the God-man at the same time. Only the Son of God could so love both God and man that he was willing to suffer our plight and to bring reconciliation and bring us back to himself. Now, to wrap this up, notice verse 20. Now here's the responsibility. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did not beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We see here our responsibility in this ministry of reconciliation and the business of reconciliation. We see it right here. If we're born again, spiritually speaking, we're not a citizen of Lansing, Michigan. See, you thought you was a citizen of Lansing. No. Your citizenship is in heaven if you're born again. Okay? So you change your zip code when you get home. No, just kidding. You're a citizen. Your citizenship is in heaven, and as an ambassador with Jesus Christ, and because of you have the constraining love that have changed your total life spiritually, you are chosen to be his representative. And your aim should be to be implementing the task of speaking up for your king. An ambassador must be a citizen of a kingdom. This happens to be the kingdom of heaven. And the book of Philippians says, for our conduct or our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we as ambassadors for Jesus Christ are accountable. We are accountable, we will be, I would say, accountable at the judgment seat of Christ or the beaming seat of Jesus Christ. We, because we are his ambassadors. Ambassadors, Christian friends, are called home. We will be called home one day. But the battle is not, the war is not finished yet. That God has not declared war on this world. In other words, he's not called us to him, the very presence of Jesus Christ. We are to seize every opportunity as an ambassador for Jesus Christ while the day is day, because night cometh when no man can work the works of God. The day of wrath is coming, according to Thessalonians chapter 1, and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So our message to Grace Bible Baptist Fellowship is one of reconciliation to the world, to your neighbors, to your friends, to your family. You and I have the ministry of reconciliation to bring people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And let us not take that responsibility and that obligation lightly. Let us be vigilant. Let us tell the story. Let us be filled with the Holy Spirit that we can reconstruct people's lives through the word of God and change lives for the glory and the cause of Christ. And the gift of reconciliation, it was God in Christ on the cross to reconcile the world to himself, to all who will receive Jesus Christ. And you know, some people's lives are like a tumbling weed, moving all about with every kinds of winds, and doctrines, and different things. But your life, my life, we want to be like a tree that's planted by the waters, something that's stable, not just a tumbling weed. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for
reconciling us back to yourself. And one man's sin was Adam, but Jesus Christ was the God-man that brought us back to God. And it is us that we was crucified with Christ, and it's nevertheless that we live, but Christ liveth in us. And we thank you, Father, we have that blessed hope one day. We thank you, Father, that we're more than conquerors to them that love you. And we praise the Lord today, Father, that we are your ambassadors, that we are not of this world, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we are to represent heaven, Father, and tell lost humanity that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. In Jesus' name, for his sake, amen.